Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
God's really doing something in this Haiti trip. Moving mightily there. Things are happening. I've asked for divine connections. Yesterday, I had the privilege of talking to a man by the name of Caleb Dellyard. He's a Haitian. He's planning on running for president of Haiti in 2020. And we talked for some time on the phone yesterday. He's a very strong Christian man, and one of his beliefs is that God is raising him up to turn Haiti back into a Christian nation, even though they had a president some years ago who was a Catholic, but this man is a Protestant and more of a Baptist background from what I gather, but anyway, that's his meeting with him through a friend, a connection, and wondering, you know, what's going to happen with all of that. But it's possibly we might meet with him as we go down before we go over to Haiti, or when we come back, we have a chance to meet with him personally as well. And I prayed with him over the phone yesterday as well. But just so that you know, God's doing something. I don't know what all is going to happen as a result of that, but it's just as you start taking the first steps and start moving in that direction, God starts to line things up for you. So we're excited about that. Amen. We'll keep you informed. I want to continue this teaching on Wednesday nights about don't limit God. Don't limit God. The information I'm gathering is from a book by Andrew Womack. Entitled Don't Limit God, and I'd recommend that book. It'd be a great Bible study. It'd be a good, small group Bible study. Somebody here wanted to start a small group Bible study. Any one of his books would be a great tool, great resource. There's study guides and so forth that with it as well. I just was reading it personally, and it spoke to me to such a way I thought, well, I'd like to share this on Wednesday nights with the folks that come out. You may not see yourself the way, in a way that's where you're limiting God through your life until maybe after tonight's message. This might be very revealing to you. It's not uncommon for us to put a limit on God, believe it or not. God is sovereign, but yet God flows through people. He flows through people, he flows to people, and he flows through people. And for example, the Israelites couldn't enter the promised land. They limited God. God wanted them to go on in. God wanted them to have this land that he promised them. But that whole generation, they put a limit on God. And they saw themselves different from the way God saw them. They developed the grasshopper complex. They said, you know, there's giants there. The people are big. They're armored. They have walled cities. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's just no way that we're going to be able to go in and take this land. So they put a limit on God. Remember, they sent 12 spies into the land. 10 came back with an evil report. 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, oh, it is. It's just like God said. And we can take it. And we should, and we shouldn't hesitate. We should go for it. And yet there were 10 who said, no, it's just not possible. Maybe it's not time. We're not ready. We're not prepared. And the 10 influenced the whole nation of Israel. Someone defined leadership as influence. Think about that. That's really what leadership is. Leadership is just influence. Who's influencing you has leadership over you. And so there's 10 that believed the evil report rather than God's word, and they influenced the whole nation. I like watching the news. I like seeing what's going on in the world and in our country. But there comes a time where I have to shut it off. I have to say, okay, that's enough, because it's influencing me to lose hope. It's influencing me in the negative. And we're called as people of God to believe God's word above circumstances and believe God's word above what we see and above what people say and declare. And so there comes a time where I have to shut that off. I'd say, okay, I've heard enough. I don't want to hear anymore. And I shut that off. Smith Wigglesworth, you may not know of him, but he was a very famous and powerful evangelist in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he realized the power of influence so much that he said he would not allow anyone to come in his home and bring a newspaper. He said, you can come in, but you're going to leave the newspaper outside. He was that strict because he knew of influence and the power of influence. Sunday morning, Pam spontaneously started sharing about quenching the spirit. I don't know if you remember, but she talked about how we can resist God by not giving him our dance. She had a little bit tonight. And we can resist God by not giving him our praise, not giving him our shout, because of the feeling at the moment that we're in or the mood we're in. And this quenching the spirit of God is actually putting a limit on God. And we're saying, well, yes, God, we know you're here, but not now. Just simmer down. The Bible tells us that there's a great cloud of witnesses in heaven. And it's referring to Hebrews 11. All the people of faith that have gone on before us and did great things of faith. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews 12, we have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know what degree they can see what we're doing here on earth. Maybe they see glimpses now and then. I mean, I don't know. But the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. And because of that, the saints in heaven, because of that, people that have gone on before us, the people who have exercised faith, the people who have seen the power of God, because of those watching us, the scripture says, let us throw off then every restraint, anything that's hindering us. And let's run. Let's run this race with a perseverance, with an intending to finish, to hit the finish mark, to hit the finish line. The race that God set in our hearts to race. I wonder sometimes if this is the case, if heaven and heaven's witnesses are sometimes watching us in our moments here on earth. I think that they must wonder sometimes, like, why don't they go for it? What are they afraid of? Why don't they take a risk? Why don't they step out of the boat? Why don't they just go for it? Why don't they just be radical in their witness? What are they afraid of? Possibly these are people that were martyrs for Christ, martyrs for the gospel, martyrs of the Lord. And they look at us and they wonder why we hold back, why we fail to take a chance. And I like this song, the last song we sang about, don't go through the motions. Life's too short. Before we know it, this earth life's over with, probably sooner than any of us expect. If you're ever going to experience God's will for your life, it's got to be now. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. He's equipped us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. And yet, we can limit God from working in our life. The Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, and the word thinks there is the word for imagines. As a man imagines in his heart, so is he. Our lives tend to go the way we think, what we think about ourselves. If we want to change, we first have to change the way we think about ourselves. We got to remove the limits that we've placed on our own lives through wrong thinking. Because the way we think will direct our lives. And many times we won't attempt to do something because we think, well, we just can't do that. Now, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here tonight with what I'm about to say. And if I hurt your feelings, I'm not talking about you. Everybody's situation is different. I understand. But I'm just sharing my observations, okay? My observation here is this. I've noticed that sometimes when a Christian gets injured or they get hurt physically in their body, maybe they can't work anymore the job that they had before. Oftentimes, they'll settle for less than what God promises in His Word is His best. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. My observation is this. Sometimes when people apply for disability, it's almost like they put a life sentence on themselves. It's almost that they put a limit on God. It's almost like they have declared, this is as good as it's ever going to get, period. And we believe God for healing. But how can you pray for someone to be healed if they've already accepted a sentence that this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life? I'm just asking questions. I'm not condemning anybody. Everybody's situation is different. I understand. But what I'm saying is that if you have already accepted is this is the way it's going to be forever for the rest of my life, then how can we pray for healing? You've limited God to some degree if you've made up your mind, this is it. I've asked God to heal me and He hasn't healed me, so I'm just going to have to accept this is it. This is His final answer. When it may not be His final answer. Are you with me? See, if you're imagining yourself disabled for the rest of your life, then you, as a man, imagines in his heart, so is he. You've put the sentence on yourself, not God. You've limited God, not God has said this is your sentence. Are you not limiting God? That's the only question I have. My dad died when he was 48 years old of heart problems. When I got close to 48, I started thinking, man, I'm going to have heart problems. And sure enough, I did. I didn't have a heart attack. And I didn't die, even though the devil was whispering in my ear, when you get 48, you're going to die just like your father. And I heard those voices in my head. But I had enough sense to say, you know, you're a liar and I ain't going to die. But I probably didn't carry it far enough. And I accepted some things as just the way it is, rather than believing God's word. There's a certain type of thinking that we can have that will limit a work of God in our lives. Most people think, well, if this is the way it is in my family, then this is the way it's going to be for me. I mean, we even learned that when we go to the doctor. We tell the family history. And there's some statistics and probabilities that could happen, but we need to change our way of thinking so that we don't think like the world. We need to think the way God thinks. He doesn't think that way. I don't care if everybody in your family has diabetes. Doesn't mean that you're going to have it. Now, statistically, the odds are you might. Yeah, there's a good possibility. But what does God say about that? See, either we're supernatural or we're not. If you're sick in your body, you don't have to read everything there is to read about your sickness. That's probably not going to help you get better. Instead of focusing on, well, I'm going to read everything I can about this and read about that. Instead, you ought to focus on, well, what does God's Word say about this? Let's read God's Word about this. Instead, you're focusing on how big your problem is rather than focusing on what God's Word says about it. Are you with me? Have I made you mad yet? See, you have to put Scripture where you see it all the time. If, God forbid, I ever had a diagnosed illness of some kind, I was in the hospital or whatever, and they said you got to do this and this and this kind of stuff, I would put everywhere I could walk on the mirror and by my bed, by the door, I would put Scriptures, what God says. I'd put that everywhere. And I'd have a guard by my door saying, don't let anybody come in this door speaking an evil report or a negative report. If they can't speak God's Word, they're not allowed to come in. And I'd just feed on the Word of God. I'd put it in my eyes. I'd put it in my ears. I'd put it in my mouth. And I'd put it in my heart. And I'd eat it and drink it and breathe it and live it until I got well. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, God has a perfect plan for your life. The number of days you live, how long you're going to live, when you're going to be born, who you're going to be born with, and things you're going to experience and things you weren't going to experience, and then when it comes time for you to depart. He's already got it planned out. That's what that word says to me. Even if your parents didn't plan for you and you were the surprise baby, guess what? You weren't a surprise to God. Every child has a purpose. And everybody influences somebody. So, 10 of these spies that were sent into the promised land came back and they started influencing all the whole nation with an evil report. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, we can do it. But 10 of them spread the evil report around the whole nation of Israel and quenched the Spirit of God. And the Bible says this in Psalm 78:41, yea, they turned back and tempted God, and say it with me, and, oh, there you go. Yeah, you can limit God. Mm-hmm. They did. They limited the Holy One of Israel. God was ready to do the supernatural. Did he not know there were giants in the land? Did he not know there were walled cities? Did he not know all the people? Sure he did. He was ready to do the supernatural with their lives. They would have been amazed. They would have been wide-eyed. They'd have been excited. And yet they shut him down because they're not willing to risk. Step out of the boat. Move forward. I believe that God will always be calling you and I to something bigger and beyond ourselves. The danger we have, I'm speaking to myself now, is we can get too comfortable where we are, where we don't have any risk at all. We kind of know what's going to happen. And if you can do things on your own, I'm going to tell you, you're not in the center of God's will. You're not. You don't need God. God will always move us in a place where we need Him. We're dependent upon Him. If you don't come through for me, I'm sunk. God will always move us into this place where we are dependent upon Him. And I think we've all missed opportunities God's had for us because of the fear of man, and we missed out on something that God had planned that was great. But we limited God by the way we think. The Bible says this. Here's a challenge. Moses was 120 when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. We need to be careful with our words. We need to be careful with our words. We say things like, well, you know, I'm over 40, so now things are supposed to go bad. I'm over 50, I'm over 60, I'm over 70, so things are starting are supposed to get worse in my body. Because you've heard that. And you've seen it with a lot of people. We compare ourselves with ourselves. The Bible says that's not wise. God warned us about this kind of thing. Moses must not have paid any attention to any of that. You say, well, that was Moses, and God has a special plan for him. Does God not have a special plan for you? Does God plan on you having diabetes? Does God plan on you being sick? Does God plan on you dying of cancer? Does God plan on you dying of a heart attack? Well, if I read my Bible correctly, all those things are under the curse. And I don't think God puts that on anybody until they die of it. I think when the time comes for us to go home, he can take us home without sickness and disease. He can just say, okay, come on. You're finished here. How many of you like to go that way? How many of you are ready to go right now? How many of you want me to pray right now, God take you on the next bus? Deuteronomy 7:17 says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, God is speaking. If God says, if you say in your heart, these nations are more than me, how can I dispossess them? He warned them ahead of time. Don't look at them in the natural and then say it with your mouth. This is what Israel was saying in themselves. They were saying it in their heart, and it affected and limited the Holy One of Israel. Look at this scripture. Ephesians 3:20. This should blow the doors off of us. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And the word according there means to the degree that the power is already working in us. So what I'm trying to say through this verse here is that we may have already limited God according to the power that's already in us with our thinking. If it's not renewed, are you with me? We determine the limit of God's power in us and through us. How many of you realize God always works through people? He moves through people. He flows through his spirit upon people, then he flows through people. If you don't believe that, then I don't even need to be standing up here tonight because, you know, you need to be listening for God's voice within my voice. There'll be things that I'm just saying, it's just me, but then there are times when it's quickened to your spirit and it brings life into your spirit because it's a word from God, because God is speaking through my voice. And you grab that word of life, and it's life to you. You may come on Wednesday night and just get one word, and one word's all you needed. You heard a word from God, that's all you needed. God flows through people. All the great revivals that have ever happened in the world were the result of one person who pressed in and believed something that God revealed, and they pressed in and they went for it when nobody else would. A word about healing, and they pressed in. And then they saw miracles and signs and wonders. They pressed in. One person grabbed hold of that, and they saw miracles. We got to change the image on the inside of the way we see ourselves. And I believe I've got to do this myself. I'm talking to me. I think way too small And I'm moving to change that in me right now. I think way too small. I put limits on God. Sometimes I'll look at the finances before I step out. Sometimes I'll be concerned about what people are going to think before I step out. That's got to change. And I'm just putting you on notice. It's changing with me right now. And I hope you'll start to see that and you go, wow, he's gone crazy. That's right. It's too late. He's gone crazy. That's right. Now, I don't know how long this is going to take, but I realize that this has got to happen. I have got to take all limits off of what God wants to do. So when he says something, there's no hesitation. You just do it. I think I told you years ago or some time ago, I remember listening to an interview of a preacher was on talking to, he was on some talk show, some Christian talk show. And the preacher just outright said, he said, you know what? He said, I never liked Benny Hinn. He just said that right on television. Everybody was just like you did. You ain't supposed to say something like that. He said, I didn't never like Benny Hinn. And he said, one day, he said, the Spirit of God spoke to me. Because he said, I didn't like Benny Hinn. He's blowing on people and throwing his coat on people and people falling over and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I didn't believe that. And then he said, one day the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, you know why I use Benny Hinn? Because there's obvious miracles that happened. I mean, people have been healed. There's no doubt there have been supernatural miracles. And God said to him, you know why I use Benny Hinn? And he said back to God, no, sir. He said, because he doesn't hesitate when I tell him to do something. Like you. And me. You think about that. First one's going to step out is going to be considered the most crazy. Most radical. And that's where the miracle happens. Not the second person, the first one. We need to be thinking about, as a church, we need to be thinking about as individuals, and I'm thinking about it in my own life, this path we're on right now. The clock is ticking. Where are we going? Where are we going to be this time next year? 5 years, 10 years? Are we going to be doing the same old thing that we've been doing? I already made up my mind, my wife, no. No, no, and no. There is more for us than where we are right now. And there's more for you. Here's a question that you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself. Am I really where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I on target or am I off course? Three very important questions. Don't be content with just getting by. And I know people move to Florida, retire, and this and that. We're going to take it easy now. You know, we're just going to take it easy. We just need to get by. No, life is too precious for you to just get by. There's more to life than just that, than just retirement. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And you need to have a purpose that moves you, that creates passion in your heart, why you do what you do, why you put up with what you put up with, why you endure what you endure, why you get out of bed in the morning. You better have a passion. And then, when you know what that is, you'll take risk that other people won't take. You'll take a risk. Most people play it way too safe. They're not willing to take a risk, not willing to try anything. And life's biggest failure is when we play it too safe. Remember, I mentioned to you on a Sunday morning about the four lepers and how they, last week, and how they sat at the city gate and they said, "We're going to die. There's a famine in the land. We can't go in the city. And if we go over to the enemy's camp, they're going to kill us. But we're going to do something, even if it's wrong." And they got up and they started moving toward the enemy's camp, which was a sure death sentence for them. And instead, God sent angels, made the enemy camp flee, thinking that it was armies coming with the sound. And they walked into the camp and they had all the food they could have ever wanted, and they had all the supplies they'd ever needed. And as a result of these four men taking a risk, they saved a whole city, Samaria. Because four people said, "We are not going to stay like this. We're going to change. Or we're going to die trying." The vast majority of people take their potential to the graveyard. They never write that book. They never give that testimony. They never preach that sermon. They never take that risk. They never give that gift. They never do whatever that is that God put up in their heart. They never do. And then it goes to the graveyard with them and nobody knows anything about it. And the great cloud of witnesses says, "What's wrong with those people down there? I mean, they got more than we have. They have a Bible in print. They have a church. They have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them. I mean, they've got prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. What's wrong with those people down there? They're playing it too safe. Why don't they risk instead of just going through the motions?" Here's a risky prayer. Would you stand with me? I dare you to pray it with me. "Father, please show me this week one area of my life where I am limiting you." Better stop right there. Stop right there and think about that. Now, you just ask God that question. If you mean it, He's going to show you one area, maybe more. Let's continue. "Don't let me continue to live this way. Help me to commit the rest of my life to whatever you want me to do. Help me to say this and mean it. God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. In Jesus' name, amen." Now just bow your head and just seal that prayer with an anticipation and expectation that God is going to show you things that need to change immediately. He may be showing you right now. And thank Him in advance for it, that you're going to change for the better. Thank Him in advance. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you. Love some people before you go home tonight. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.